Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here, and thank you for joining me today. I am just so excited to have this wonderful show on BBS Radio. What a great journey! And for those of you that have listened to me before on Voice America, I host the For the Love of Reiki show, and we are in our second year, and I'm just having so much fun and so honored. And one of the most beautiful people that I have met on this journey, and I just came to love her, and we became friends, and her name is Stephanie Barton. She is here with us today, and I am so excited. Stephanie, I want to say welcome and thank you for joining me today.
You're so welcome. Hi, Paula, and I'm so happy because I'm here talking with you and sharing this time with the listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. Stephanie is, she was a longtime RN and she then moved to a different line of work, which is sharing and giving and helping others. She talks with the angels. She helps us communicate with the angels, and I'm just going to let Stephanie share everything she does. I just get so excited. Stephanie, please share with the audience what you do, what you offer, and then let's just have some fun angel talk.
Absolutely. Well, yes, what I love to do is help people understand that we are constantly connected and always loved, and that love comes from spirit. And spirit means angels, it means our human loved ones who've passed, it means pets. But we're always, always connected to spirit, and no matter what, we're loved. And so my work focuses on bringing the knowledge and the information and a good working understanding of how those connections work. So if you can't see your angels, how do you know they're around? If you can't hear from your loved ones because they're deceased, how can you still feel connected? And that's where I come in, is to fill that gap between the physical experience and the spiritual presence that's with us all the time.
Oh, beautiful. And do you also, with your clients, do you help them understand what the angels are for them? I mean, how the angels can enhance their life and bring to them in that area?
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I think is extremely important that can often be overlooked in the spiritual world or in the New Age realm, I guess. You know, it's nice to have all these big lofty ideas and concepts, but at the end of the day, I think it's equally important to have a practical application to our spiritual practice. So if I'm connected to angels, okay, how does that help me? What can I do with that? And so for each person, I really enjoy being able to help the artist tap into some creative outlets that they've never experienced before, or the person who's an accountant find a little bit more joy with the everyday grind, or the person who is working as a teacher to find a little bit more joy with inspiring students. And that's how our angels serve us, is by taking the everyday and making it not ordinary, but extraordinary. That's how working with our angels can serve and benefit us for sure.
Yes. Now, that makes me think of something. Let me ask you this, Stephanie. The angels are out there for us, guiding us, watching over us. So, you know how in life there can be chance meetings or different things that can just happen and it synchronizes and you just can't believe it. So, do the angels have anything to do with when those amazing things happen in our life?
I think in many ways, absolutely yes, because working with our angels and being attuned to our spirit and that fullness, that richness of life takes passing a stranger on the street into recognizing a soul, a kindred, a fellow traveler on the path, and we feel that connection. The angels help us to be sensitive to those feelings so that they don't just breeze past, but they click and we feel something, and then we want to create and experience more. So it's kind of like, rather than just rushing through the meal, the angels help us to savor and to be aware of what we're experiencing so that we can be satisfied in life. And I think that's so important, is we can get, if we get carried away, we can just rush, 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 rush. We don't see the forest for the trees, and we never stop and smell the roses. So the angels can draw our attention to the roses and then invite us to stop and appreciate and just soak up all the goodness in life.
I love it. And give us a few examples, Stephanie, of something that the angels might do to help us take a moment to stop and notice something. Let's say a feather, you know, in a certain spot we come upon. What are some of the fun things that the angels do?
Oh my gosh, there's so many wonderful things. What you're mentioning about feathers, that's just such a beautiful and such a sweet way that the angels can help us realize that they are real and that they are really connected to us and watching over us. So when you're thinking about your angels and you find a feather on the ground, it's a proof positive that your thoughts are heard and that your prayers are acknowledged and that your angels are there with you. I love and have so many stories every day from clients that thinking of a loved one or thinking of their angels and then turn on the radio and hear their favorite song or hear just the right lyrics. I mean, getting a message that's so spot on, it can't just be coincidence. That happens so much. The same thing is true with numbers. You're thinking of a loved one and you look at the clock and it's their date of birth.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so you're asking your angels for a sign and you see 333 or license plates. I mean, the list is endless because there's just no limit to the way that our angels can let us know that they listen and that they love. There's just no limits to love.
Oh, that is so amazing and so beautiful. Wow. Any suggestions for the listeners on what they can do on a daily basis to help themselves be a little more aware of these beautiful signs, these beautiful things that the angels do to get their attention?
Well, as interesting as it sounds, I really think that relaxing, just kind of letting go of the trying to connect and just relax and realize that I am connected. So today I'm just going to let it unfold. That's one of the easiest ways to start recognizing and getting excited and appreciating the communications and the connections that we have from our angels. Because you know how it is when you're trying so hard to make something happen,
yes.
You just get stressed and it gets hard and then it's no fun.
Yes.
But if you just kind of relax and sit back and enjoy the ride, wow, some pretty tremendous things can happen. And that's how it is with our intuition and communicating with our angels. So accept that you're connected because you are, and then relax. And appreciate the synchronicities and the little nudges and the little hints that come to you, and then acknowledge that those are from your angels when they do come.
Yes, and actually when we do that, it can get really fun, can't it?
Yes, it can. And that's what's so amazing about the angels, is that they're so joyful, so filled with light, that it does help us to weather the storms of life. Even in the midst of darkness, our angels can bring us those rays of light that breath of hope, just the nudges that keep us going and keep us moving forward, even when it's tough. And then they can be there to shelter us when we need rest too. But it's incredible how powerful they are, and how much they can uplift us when we need it, but keep us light and keep us centered on what's true. It's just invaluable, invaluable.
And so let's say we're going through a challenge or a trauma in our lifetime, a heartache. Our angels can really help us through that, can't they?
Absolutely. And it's nice to know that the angels don't try to sugarcoat things for us or just say, oh, no, everything's fine. Our angels can be with us. They can be there to support us when we need to cry. They can be there to comfort us when we're hurt. But then they can also be there to lift us up when we're ready to fly. So they accept us and are with us wherever we're at. And yet they invite us to hold the space for something more. So the angels will never deprive us of our emotions or try to dissuade us from our feelings. Instead, they'll acknowledge and accept us where we are and open these doors to so much more, to so much more. Because we've all had trauma and we've all had difficult experiences, and it's easy to get stuck. So our angels recognize the pain and understand that we do experience frustrations and drama, and yet they can also show us there's more. There's always something more.
And in knowing that the angels are with us and near us and loving us always, my goodness, what peace that can bring us in a difficult time.
It is. It's a great comfort, because then we recognize that we are loved and we can be powerful in our lives, that even if the world rejects us, we're accepted, and we can choose a new path. We can choose different thoughts. There's always hope. And I think that's what I've seen so many times every single day in doing this work, is that there is always hope. There is always another way. Each day is a new day. It's a fresh start, and the angels are there to greet us and to help us however we may let them. They'll help us no matter where we are.
Oh, that is so beautiful. It really makes you so happy. It does. Mm-hmm. Bring such happiness in knowing what is out there, that the angels are with us always. We're never alone. It brings such peace. Oh, I love it, Stephanie. I love it. I'm afraid we have to pop out for a commercial, but Stephanie, we will come right back. All our wonderful listeners out there, we will be right back to talk more about the angels with Stephanie Barton. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here. And I am having a wonderful chat with Stephanie Barton. We are discussing angels today, and Stephanie shares so much beautiful information and love and caring, and you do so much, Stephanie, for others, and I love chatting about the angels. And I would like to, you mentioned on a previous show that one of the things you do with your clients, and I am going to have you share everything because you do so much for everyone, but I would, being the animal lover that I am, I would love to hear the work you do with your clients in regard to their pets.
Well, I'll tell you, no conversation about angels would be complete without a mention of pets and animals.
Oh.
Because animals in our lives are angels. They just are.
Yes.
And they are our angels in physical form, and they reside with us even from their spirit. So helping clients to connect with their pets on the other side is one thing that I love to do and brings such healing. I just can't tell you. It's a tremendous gift and such a blessing to be able to connect with animals on the other side too. Because there's so many times, and I've had to go through the experience myself, where an animal is sick, or, you know, we have a pet who is facing some pretty difficult odds for recovery, and sometimes we make the difficult decision to release the animal from the physical body. And no matter how sick, no matter how wounded or hurt the animal is, it's hard to say goodbye. Even when we know it's the right thing, we still struggle because it's a hard thing. And so by communicating with those pets on the other side and knowing that they are happy and they're whole and they're healthy, and they don't even understand a concept of death the way we think of it, oh my gosh, it's the most amazing thing. And so I truly love helping people connect with their animals on the other side. Yeah. And it's been so fun. I'll tell you, I've spoken with chickens on the other side.
My goodness.
I've spoken with goldfish.
Really?
Pot-belly pigs. Seriously. At horses. I mean, it's just really so amazing. Love. The love that we share, no matter what physical form it takes. Love is love. And love speaks. It's just so neat. Oh, it's been incredible. And I never expected that when I started my work as a medium. I thought, well, I don't know. I guess you have to do something special to be an animal communicator. But as I said, love speaks. And so here's a dog. Here's a cat. Here's a rooster. Here's a hen. They talk and they love. And they love to talk with us.
Chickens. I have to ask, what are the chickens? What do the chickens have to say?
Well, I had a client who had chickens, and then the chicken had laid eggs, and the eggs hatched too soon, and there were some problems with some of the baby chicks. And she had fed them with a dropper and just gave them all of her love, these little baby chicks. But two of them didn't make it. And so it was these two little chicks, and they had distinguishing marks to them, which I could see clairvoyantly, and that's how we knew they were the right little chickens compared to any other chickens on the other side. And they just expressed gratitude and recognition that she had seen them not as just these little things, but that she had respected them as sweet little souls. And it was a beautiful acknowledgement that they acknowledged her in a way that she understood, just as she had acknowledged them, even as little fluff balls. It was really beautiful. So I think that's neat to know that sometimes we forget that our animals and our pets appreciate us just as much as we appreciate them, and they can recognize and acknowledge and love us very much the same way that we love them.
I love that. And, you know, that just brought to my mind how I really believe that all the animals, all the creatures, they have emotions, they have love, they have caring. They're not like, a piece of plastic. They have so much emotions and love and caring and wisdom.
Wisdom. Oh, I agree. But then the other thing is that they're so forgiving. They're so present. Animals are in the moment. They just are so much at one with the moment. They can teach us more than we can ever imagine.
Sure.
It's so inspiring to connect with them, not just from the other side, but in our everyday lives. To be able to observe our animals and to have them in our world and in our lives is a gift.
Yes.
It's truly a gift.
It is. Oh, it's a greatest gift. I love the animals. And here's a question in regard to the angels. So we know the angels are loving the animals. So would that be the same angels that are watching over us humans, or do the animals have their own little angels?
Oh, sure. Yes, animals have their own guardian angels.
Oh,
and so, oh, yes, people often call me asking, can you please help me find my dog, or my cats ran away? Can you tell me And I will connect with that animal's guardian angels to make sure they're okay and to see if I can locate the animal's whereabouts. So rather than talking to the owner's guardian angel, I'll see if I can connect with the pet's guardian angel to access that information or to share whatever I can. And it's really fun to do that. And those animals, if they want to be found, they'll be found. And if they don't, they'll tell me that.
Have you ever had an animal say, "No, I don't want to be found"?
I had a lady a couple of years ago at Christmas time who called me, and bless her heart, she was so desperate because her cat had gotten out of the house. And the cat was a house cat, but the cat did not want to be a house cat. So on Christmas, with guests coming in and coming out, the cat squirted out of the house. So I connected with the cat's guardian angels and asked the cat if it was okay, first of all, and he was, and second of all, if he would be making an appearance. And he says, "In a few days, I'll be back, but leave me alone."
Let me go so, play when I want.
Yeah. I know. And I told her, I said, "He's okay, but please don't worry. Just trust, because he'll come back home." And sure enough, just as he promised, after a few days, he just showed back up on the doorstep because he needed some time to explore and to be out in the big wide world. And then he came home. So it was a really fun, it's a fun connection, and of course had a happy ending. And the same thing, I have had that experience with dogs too. I had a lady a couple of months ago who, her dog had jumped over the fence, and she wanted to know, is he okay? And he was, and same thing, he promised he'd be back, but just wanted some time to roam. And then a personal story I have to share with you. My daughter has a tortoise, and we had let the tortoise outside in a little pen. We'd built a tortoise pen for her, and we were gone one afternoon, and the tortoise dug her way underneath the pen, and we didn't think that she could do that. So she got out into the yard and then just had a little vacation. And I knew in my heart, because I communicated with her angels, I knew that she would come back. I knew she was okay. But tortoise time is different from person time because tortoises are kind of slow.
Yes.
So she didn't show up after a week. She didn't show up after 2 weeks. And it was getting into the third week, and I thought, all right, this has been a while. You better come home.
Yes.
So on the third week, 3 weeks and one day from when she disappeared, some neighbors showed up holding the tortoise, and they brought her home.
She was a walkabout.
She had a walkabout, but throughout the time, I kept tabs with her angels. Are we okay? We're okay.
I love it. Oh my goodness. I love it. Oh, Stephanie, I could go on for hours with you. We are down to just a couple moments. Would you mind sharing with the listeners your website and just touch upon some of the services that you offer before we...
Oh, I would love to, because I just, oh, anyone who would ever need assistance or inspiration or guidance, I would just love to connect and to communicate. My website is Angels Insight, like Angels in Sight, all one word. And then I offer phone sessions, Skype sessions, which is fun, so I can see you and you can see me. At least from the waist up or from the neck up. also email readings, in person. And then I focus on connecting with human spirits and angels and pets like we've discussed. I also enjoy helping people find their soul purpose, understand what their soul's mission is, anything spiritual, healing, emotional. I'm just here to help bring bring heaven to earth, just to bridge that gap. Love is the bridge.
Love is the bridge. And I can tell everyone out there, I have had the honor and the pleasure of having sessions with Stephanie for quite some time now, about a year and a half. And I love her books. She has written some amazing books. And I just love everything, Stephanie. And
oh, thank you. And it's been so amazing over this past year and a half just to see how much you've grown and just your confidence and your connectedness. It's just
and now awesome. Another show. It's just, oh my gosh. And
I know. And I knew it. I told you from the beginning.
You have just called everything. You have been spot on. It is so fun. I'm so grateful, Stephanie, and I am so grateful to all of my new listeners out there on the BBS radio. I'm honored to be a part of BBS. So
yes.
We will say goodbye. Stephanie, I want to thank you. Thank you. Hugs and a happy day to everyone out there.
Yes.
Thank you. Goodbye. Another fun, happy day, and joining me is Marla Martinson. Oh my gosh, Marla was on briefly at a prior show, and I'm so excited to have her back here today. She's absolutely amazing. She is a Beverly Hills matchmaker and so much more. And Marla, I will let you share with everyone all of the beautiful things you have going on, and we will just run and have fun. Welcome, Marla.
Hey, Paula V.
Hey,
great
hey.
To be with you again.
Energy sister.
Yes, this is a real life Cupid coming to you from Los Angeles, the city of angels.
Yes.
So I am a matchmaker, but as Paula said, so much more. It's so interesting because I started out being an actress / waitress. I came down from Seattle, Washington, and to do my dream and try to be a movie star. And I was doing TV commercials and modeling but you know what? There was too much waitressing going on there for 20 years for my taste. It was less acting and more waitressing. And I said, you know what? I've got to hang up my apron at 39. And then I ended up falling into matchmaking, which I never even knew was a job, but a friend hooked me up at a video dating service. I worked there, and then I moved on to a Beverly Hills matchmaking service, and I was the vice president of matchmaking, running that for 7 years. And then I went out on my own in 2000. Well, I left there 2009. So 2010, I put up my shingle, and it was called Cupid for Hire, and I was matching up people and having a ball. But so 14 years later, you know, my job, people think matchmaking is so easy. It's pretty stressful when your clients are males and they are multimillionaires and billionaires with big egos, and they expect a Victoria's Secret model, you know. So.
Yes.
With a PhD. So I do my best to shoot my arrow and make connections, and I've got a guy engaged now. But from the shallowness out came, I felt the need to really cultivate my spiritual practice a lot more. And I ended up going to some class. I had, you know, done a lot of spiritual work, but I really ramped it up because I ended up going to some classes with my friend Julie here in Los Angeles. And there was a place called the Imagine Center, which was just fabulous. And this woman, Goddess Tahita, who owns it, she gives classes on abundance, connecting with your guides, crystal healing. So she was so great that we started taking every class she offered, and I found out I could get certified in crystal healing. And then when I was doing the crystal healing, she said, well, if you want to add any energy work to that, like Reiki, go ahead, that would be great. So I said, oh, well, I guess I need to get certified in Reiki. So I went to do that, and then I'm going to be getting a certification to do it with animals and going for the Reiki Master. And so I just found this new world that opened up, and I've been having so much fun, and even a new book. I've written four books, And this new book, which is a memoir called The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide for Enlightenment, is all about this journey, this spiritual journey that I went on. It's kind of like an Eat, Pray, Love meets Bridget Jones's Diary, I would say. Very oh, funny, fantastic. But very informative, kind of a field guide. And my friend Julie's in it, has a major role. And there's some wild stuff that happens too. So who would have known that you know, all of this stuff, it's like following the breadcrumbs, you know, it's all leading to other things. And yeah, now I can't believe I finished the book. It's in final edits and I'm like, I can't believe this. It took me over a year to write it, but it's really fun. And all because I needed something to counter the shallowness of my matchmaking.
I love it. Now, what prompted you in the very beginning to write your first book? Did you think you would be an author, or did something prompt you?
Well, I've always loved to read. I talked very early. I mean, I was talking before I was 1 year old, and my mother used to read to me all the time. So I always had books when I was a little girl. And then I do remember, I mean, in the third grade, writing to my favorite authors. I think I wrote to Beverly Cleary, who wrote Ramona the Pest, and another author, and said, I want to be an author like you. What do I need to do? You know, I was like, and I dreamed of being a writer, and I'd write short stories. I'd write poems. Aww. And then as the years went by, you know, it was before computers. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I didn't know where to put the commas. How do you do this? I didn't know. And I thought, I can't. When I was in my 20s, I had all 20s and 30s, I had all these ideas, and I just thought, I don't know what I'm doing. But it always was nagging in the back of my mind. And then I was talking to somebody who wrote books, a friend of mine, and he says, well, you know, that's what editors are for. You know, editors will help you. I said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. And from working in the matchmaking, there's so many funny stories, and also so much that I found out about men and women that the average person wouldn't know, because they give me the feedback on dates, what people are doing, what they're looking for, what the faux pas are. And so I kept all the funny stories, then I kept all of my knowledge, and I wrote, the first book was Excuse Me, Your Soulmate is Waiting, and you can get that on my website. And then I did another book, Good Date, Bad Date. So those were two dating advice books, and I was thrilled. I did get a traditional publishing deal, couldn't believe it, got on the Today Show. I mean, it was like a dream, you know? And then I wanted to do a memoir. I love memoir. That's my favorite genre. And I had read Jen Lancaster's Bitter is the New Black. And then I thought, that is so fun. She was writing about her life with her husband, and she had lost her job. And my friend Julie said, Marla, your life is so much more exciting and interesting than hers. You should write a memoir. And I thought, you know, everybody comes up to me and wants to know what it's like to be a matchmaker. Tell me that your funny stories. If I'm at a party, I'm the one everybody wants to talk to. So I did. I kept all these. I wrote it in real time, and it's called Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. And then I wrote the sequel, Hearts on the Line. And now the third installment of the memoirs is The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. But this has very little matchmaking in it. It's more the spiritual stuff. And this one's my favorite. This one's like my jewel. It's my baby. I love all my books, but this one, I really, and my writing's improved. You know, it's like a progression.
Yes, yes. Oh, I can't wait to read it. Now, would you like to share one of those funny stories with us, Marla? Is there anything comical
you'd like to share? This is a funny one. So I've got a lot of. I have one that
I can
imagine.
Okay,
I've got a lot. Well, there's one guy that was in Florida, because I had, when I was working at the Beverly Hills firm, we had clients all over the country, and this guy in Florida flew out his match to Florida from California to meet him, and he was taking her to some event, you know, and she was staying at a hotel, and she got so drunk that he had to,
oh no,
she had to be wheeled on one of those luggage carts.
Oh no! Flying out. Oh no!
Yeah. Well, when she got there to the hotel, and then they had been, you know, drinking, eating, and then she got so drunk at the event that she, you know, had to be wheeled on one of the. I mean, I just pictured it, you know, and.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, there were some other wild things. I mean, guys, also men are so visual, and my clients are very persnickety, and they will ask for perfection down to the eye color, hair color.
Oh my gosh.
But one guy wanted a gal with a heart-shaped face, and I even had a guy who wouldn't see a girl again. They were dating for a while, and I thought, this is it. They're adorable together. They're going to get married. I was thrilled. And he calls me one day, and he says, Marla, I'm going to have to break up with her. And he didn't want to tell me what it was. And I said, well, what is it? Tell me. And he says, well, her areolas are too big. So her areolas, the part around the nipple, you know,
it was too big
for his taste. And he says, I don't like it. She has her shirt off. So, I mean, I don't know if that's appropriate to tell on here, but, you know, look, it's just
having fun.
But that's how persnickety they get. So can you see how I was driven to, you know, the spiritual side?
Yes. And, you know, that made me remember something that happened to me when I was 17. The summer before my senior year, I went to New Orleans with my best friend. Her father lived there. And here I was, a little Centralia country girl, Washington country girl. My first job was on a chicken farm. And I go to New Orleans, and I get a part-time job to make a little money while we're there. And we're there for the summer. And I meet this boy that had a big crush on me, and he was from a very, very wealthy family. Okay, so can I take you to dinner? Oh, okay. So he takes me to this, like, the most expensive restaurant I'd ever been to in my life. And then we were eating, and it was something along the line of which fork I used or something. And he was just, oh my gosh.
He was outraged.
I'll never forget it. Oh, geez.
So that's it. You were toast after
that,
right?
Well, he still wanted to date me, but he was like, yeah. I have to teach you things. But I went back home and went, no, that's okay. I don't think I'm up for it. So I'll never forget it. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, yes. Oh, man.
Well, there's a story in diary about I waited on a Hollywood star in the 80s, and I waited on a lot of stars, but this one, it was really busy at lunch. It was a crowded place on Rodeo Drive, and I was running around, and the woman, she says, Miss, Miss, and she was with like six people. She says, Miss, Miss, my fork is missing. I don't have a fork. This is an outrage. And I was like, what?
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Needless to say, the bill was about $120, and she left me a dollar and some change. Oh. So
I used to say, yes.
I see you turn it into lemons in a lemonade because I wrote that story in my book.
Yes. And I used to say everyone should work in a restaurant because we learn so much, you know.
Absolutely.
The people,
yep.
So. Oh, how fun, Marla. How fun. Well, I'm afraid we are going to need to pop into a commercial here. So we're going to have to take a break. But I would love when we come back, a little more about your new book, and we'll just kind of play with some fun things about how everyone has their own little quirky what makes us happy. So I thank you, Marla. This is just so fun. I could chat with you all day.
I could chat all day.
Oh, I just absolutely love it. So everyone, we will be back in just a moment. Thank you. Olivia here, and if you're just tuning in, I am chatting with Marla Martinson, and we are just having so much fun. So, Marla, welcome back.
And hey, everybody.
Yay! We've been talking about your matchmaking and that type of thing, and you did mention you've written five books, and your fifth one is just coming out.
Touch on that a minute
for us, please.
Yeah, it's called The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. And enlightenment is with L-I-T-E in the middle, because it's not that I'm enlightened, it's light, you know, spiritual light and having fun. And I would probably describe it as a Eat, Pray, Love meets Bridget Jones's Diary type of a book. It's a memoir. It's a lot of fun. I go through all these modalities that I try because of the stress of my matchmaking. I, even though I love it, I have to have this other outlet where I really develop my spiritual side. And so there's adventures in there where I go to an Indian bhajan, I get beaten with bamboo, I learn to use the pendulum, I use the Ouija board, I, you know, go to a channeler, I go to a psychic, I'm talking with an angel. So there's all these things that I do. So it's for anybody who's on a path or thinking about going on a path or thinking about trying some of these things, it's kind of a field guide for the people, because I'll go do it and then I tell them what I got out of it and what they might. And it's also, there's, you know, my husband's in it, my dog's in it. So it's a fun, it's just a fun memoir. And it's something very different. And I never would have thought that I would have written something like this. But it's my, I'm just tickled. I mean, and the cover art, this one amazing artist, Robbie Adkins, did the cover. And I'm just, like, excited about it. And I have this new website to, everything matches. So go check out the website. And the book has been taking a little longer. My editor had some setbacks with death in the family and things. So, but this is something I want to tell you guys too, because the book has been done for a little while. But, well, okay, before it was done, because I was writing this like over a year and a half period as things were happening, as I was doing things, and I was getting a little. I'm not the most patient person. And my editor, her mother passed away, and she had some other things that were happening. And so I was frustrated and like, I want this to be going faster. But this was all divine timing, because if that didn't happen, if I didn't have these setbacks with the editing, there were things that ended up happening that I wouldn't have put in the book. And the whole ending of the book, at the end, the last like three chapters, something big happened and I never would have imagined, and it wouldn't have gotten in there because I didn't know how I was going to end the book. So the lesson there for me and anybody else who's impatient is, if things are delayed, if things, just go with it and just know that there could be a higher reason for it.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And something you say on your website that I really, really love is, I believe that it is never too late to try something new.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes. Hey, I'm in my 50s now, and my husband says, "Do you want to go to the moon too? You know, what do you do?" Because I just want to do all these things. Like today, I'm going to go to a meetup after this. Then next week, I'm getting certified to do animal Reiki. Then next month, I'm doing my Reiki Master. And he says, "Okay, when is this going to end?" And I said, "Well, you know,
never.
I don't know. I mean." Because he's more practical. It's like, just concentrate on your matchmaking. That's where you make your money. Yeah. We have a good thing going here. Concentrate. And I'm like, I can juggle. I can multitask. Yeah. I can do it.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like my husband. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're going to do that too? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. And I have a new YouTube channel, and I'm a crystal healer, and I'm a Reiki healer, and you want to do animals, and you want to matchmake, and you want to speak. You know, it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Why not? We've got to cram it all in.
Exactly. And, you know, with the Reiki and the crystal healing, your YouTube, everything, your books, I mean, you're making a difference in lives. Isn't that beautiful?
I hope so. I hope so. I know, you know, there's one gal that came to me. I love working with everyone, but I love doing energy healing for single women, especially. There was a woman in her late 50s that came to me, and she had never been married. And she came about four times. She absolutely loved the sessions. I do a really special session with crystals and the energy healing and everything. I do my own thing. And we worked a lot on self-worth and affirmations on worthiness and all of that, because she needed that to get into a relationship. We cleared out old energy. We worked with the heart chakra, and I infused, you know, we worked on her worthiness. And wouldn't you know, like a month after, she is now I never hear from her anymore, because she's out traveling with this wonderful man that's now her soulmate. I mean, she's so happy. So she sent a bunch of friends to me, and that was just great. I mean, that, just to know that, you know, gosh, it really works.
Yes.
You know, there's the proof is in the pudding. And I just felt great about that. It was wonderful.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And also on your website, I love that you mention a few of your own unique quirky qualities, such as, I can't pass up bringing home a pine cone that I find on the ground. Anyone need some? I love that.
I love quite
so you just love picking up pine cones?
That's probably from growing up in, you know, Seattle.
Yes.
And
yes.
I always loved pine cones. And I love the, you know, October's my favorite month. I love the rain and the cool weather and pine cones and trees and nature. And there's a big pine tree in our neighborhood here in Los Angeles, and it does drop pine cones. And I've got so many. And my husband gets, you know, mad. He's like, what are you bringing? You know, we don't like clutter. He's a Virgo, very clean, very organized, and we don't want any clutter. So he's always like, why are you bringing these home? And I said, but look at this one's so perfect. Look at it looks just like a tree. It's beautifully preserved. Look. And I've got all of them. And then, so yeah, I bring them home. I just love pine cones.
Oh, yes. And chatting with a squirrel.
I love the squirrels. I feed the squirrels. I've got food in my backyard, and they come and sit there and talk and move their little tail. And then when I go for a walk, you know, they'll because they freeze, right? Like they freeze on the tree, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And I just start talking to them.
I have signs in our driveway, caution, squirrel crossing, you know.
Oh,
I don't want
yeah.
anyone to run over one of my squirrels. And
well, my husband is hoping that we find like an orphan squirrel or injured squirrel, because he's been seeing these squirrel videos that I show him, and he's like enamored, and he wants a squirrel as a pet.
Oh, I just love it. And wear glitter every day.
I wear glitter every day. I've got it on now. I would say I'm part fairy. Now, okay, you guys, I'm very woo-woo. So I like channelers. And I go, and there's a channeler, a woman called Grace Cavanaugh, who channels Osira. And Osira told me that I am, I think, 23% fairy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my
gosh. So I wear my glitter, and then if somebody asks me, because they'll say, "Oh, did you know you have glitter?" Like they think it's an accident, and I go, "It just oozes out of me. I'm part fairy."
I have never heard anything like that in my life. That is so. No wonder you're so fun.
Maybe.
Because fairies are fun.
Yeah, and I'm in my 50s now, and my husband said, "You're just like a kid. You're like a teenager. You never grow up. Why don't you grow up?" And I'm like, "I'm just me.
No.
I can't. You know, how am I supposed to act?" Like
yes.
I said, at least I'm interested in things. At least I'm you know, energetic. Do you want a wife that's just like drab?
And you know something, I always say, and I always believe in. I'm 19 until I die. I'm going to have that young mentality. I don't want to have an old mentality.
Right. And I guess I just
want to be 19.
I don't feel the need to lie about my age like most women in Los Angeles, you know, or get embarrassed or make a face if somebody, you know, oh my God, I can't tell you. It's like, well, this is how many years I've been on the planet this time around. And I'm me, and I'm an ageless, timeless sex goddess soul, sister.
Yeah. And, you know, start with loving ourselves. And, you know, it's so fun. Everybody, you know, out there can have the little things that make them happy. So do you have any suggestion for the listeners, let's say something they can do or focus on to be a little happier in their day or to think
about?
Yeah,
I mean, even I will stop from working and I just go, I'm blessed to work from home. So my dog Macy, who is just my angel, is always next to me. But I will just pick her up and just kiss her and hug her and look at her and talk to her. She just raises my vibration like crazy. When I take a walk outside, look at the squirrels, pick up a pine cone. Center yourself, pick up or say, you know, find a great book that you love and take a little time out. Or if you're in a job that you don't like, so many people are, do what I did with Julie. We found this class. I mean, it was $15 a class every other week. And because of those classes, we just said, hey, you want to take this class? It looks interesting. I have a whole new skill as a healer. A new book was written because of that, because I thought, hey, why don't I do something fun in the evenings every other week?
Yes.
You just go for it. Just pick something and then go, because you don't know who you'll meet or what is going to sprout out of it. And it could bring you a whole new career or just a lot of joy. And a lot of people want to write a book. You know, this is my fifth book plus a short story plus I was featured in another book. And it can seem daunting. And people will say, I wish I could write a book. And you can. It's not easy. But if you even sit down 15 minutes a day or even an hour a week, whatever, just make it consistent. Don't beat yourself up and get something down on the page. And after a year, you will have a whole book.
Then
get a good editor. And I could always give some advice on that. But there's books out there that teach you that. Go on Amazon, Google advice. But the important thing is just get everything down on the page. It doesn't have to be perfect. and, you know, you'll deal with polishing it up later.
I love that. I love that. Just begin, get it, get it on the page, and
work. It's such a sense of accomplishment. I just, every time a book, I have a new book, it's just, I'm holding it in my hand, and I'm like, I cannot believe I did all this hard work. I didn't sit there 8 hours a day and do it. I have a full-time job. I've got a husband, a dog, a house to clean, a lot of things to do. And I'm not a person that has that luxury to write every day or sit down for hours. So I have to carve out little times to do it.
And it's so great to keep the mind and heart open to, you know, new things that might happen. I mean, I've been doing my Voice America show almost 2 years now, and I never in a million years dreamed I would be a radio host. And when they approached me, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know, I have to think about that. And I love it. And I'm meeting so many beautiful people. It connected me to you. And,
I know. That's how it is with my YouTube show. When I was a kid, we had a tape recorders back then, you know, in the 70s. And I'd take this tape recorder and I would have the microphone and I would pretend I was a radio host and I'd have guests and I'd do the voices if I didn't have a friend there to play the people. And I used to love that and I wanted to be a TV host and I'd, you know, watch Merv Griffin and all the, you know, I'd like Oprah and I want to do it. And look, nobody's paying me to do that, or I never got a chance. So I started my YouTube channel, and I'm interviewing experts. Oh. And I've done like 170 videos now, and I am having so much fun. And sometimes my husband's like, you're not going to make any money with that or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? That's the bright part of my day when I'm working, and I say, okay, I'm going to take a half an hour out right now to interview such and such. Yes. I can edit it real fast in my Mac, you know, computer.
Yes.
And I've met the most incredible people as well. And people who watch the show and make comments and guests themselves. I'm getting free psychic readings and books and connections. And I'm learning things. And it's creative.
Yes.
So even if I never make any money with it, it's something that I do that is so much fun.
Exactly.
That, you know, hey, I'm my own TV host if nobody wants to hire me as one.
Yes.
Just do it yourself.
It gets more people connected to you, you know, and that's me with my show. I get readings and books and all this, so many gifts come in. It's just so
fantastic. Yes, that's really fun. Because my husband's like, why are you getting all these books? Are you buying more books? No, I'm fine. Publicists will send their authors books, so I read them and I interview their people, you know, it's great. I'm a bookworm.
Yes, it's so fun. Yes, I'm going out of town tomorrow and I have books I'm taking. It's just so fun. Oh, well, Marla, we have about a minute to go. Any last words or information that you want to share with the listeners?
You guys, if you want, I have a wonderful short story called Amateur Night. It's about when I was a waitress in Chicago on one fateful Valentine's night. It's a really fun short story, and you can get that for free as a gift if you go to my website, marlamartenson.com, MarlaMartenson, and sign up for my newsletter, and you'll get that as a free gift, and then you'll also get a weekly newsletter from me with tips and inspirational things coming to your inbox. So I would love to connect with you. And my website, I just got a new website, so I am absolutely thrilled. This woman did it, took 2 months to do it, and I love looking at it. Go check
it's
it out.
Gorgeous.
It's such an amazing job. I can't even believe it.
It is so gorgeous.
It's so great.
Oh, thank you so much, Marla. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you for joining us today. And big hugs and a happy day to everyone. Marla, big hugs your way.
Thanks, Paula. I love you. Thanks, everybody.
You.
Angel kisses. Bye.
Bye.